It's time for the CMC Super Show.
CMC
Super Show.
CMC
Super Show.
CMC
Super Show.
CMC
Super Show.
CMC Super Show.
Good afternoon. I am Seaman Hepburn, a.k.a. YF Menace, and you heard that intro, so you know what time it is. CMC Alvarado, how are you this afternoon?
Great. Nice to be back in AFN Radio.
That is great. And I heard you met some very important people a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, yes. We were invited to attend the Naval Academy for equivalent senior NCO for our Spanish counterparts, and a lot of admirals, and especially meeting a very humbling experience, meeting the King of Spain. So that's I have to take a photo, you know.
I mean,
because if no photos, there's there's no proof there, right?
All right. And of course, we're halfway through the year, and we have a lot of mission success and operations flow here through ROTA.
Yes. So same thing. I would say, you know, we can definitely, you know, looking forward with the talking about an installation for deployed nature, right? We always advise our family and our supported command, especially if you're operational command, to prepare for the next operation. So kudos to our supported commands operationally, specifically the ship and some of our operational command shore base. But they do a great job on preparing not just for the sailors, but also their families. So there's a few things that I want to talk about, just to follow up. Four things that comes to mind. If any of your spouse or service member going on deployment, make sure they have a power of attorney and wills. Talk to our legal assistance office, which is located at building 3293, which is the Fleet and Family Support Center building where we do ICR. And then on the second floor, that's where they're located. Okay, and you can do it online as well. So if you really Google Power Attorney U.S. Navy or JAG, it's on the jag.navy.mil legal services. And there's a lot of special power attorney there, forms-wise. You can fill that out and then print it, or you can just go directly to the second floor legal service office, and they'll have one available for you to fill out. Second thing is the child care, making sure that aside from the family care plan, is different from the child care services that we have on base, right? So coordinate that with the CYP that we have on base, and also Fleet and Family Support Center for any other information. Third thing, depending on how long the service member is going to be gone, but at the same time, you know, if there's any passport updates, or your passport, your family member or kids' passport is going to be expiring soon, it's better to take care of that now before you go on patrol or whatever the case may be. And then last thing is really the most important part, in my opinion, make sure you get paid, right? Yes. Check your MyPay, DFAST MyPay, Google that, and then log in, you know, verify your LES and all that. Make sure you're not getting overpaid, most importantly, or not getting paid enough what you're entitled to. So those are really, you know, four things. I know there's more to it. Especially, you know, setting up. If you leave off base, make sure you have some way or somehow to pay your rent and utilities, set that up with your landlord, right? So yes, those are a few things that comes to mind.
Those are all very important things. And of course, on a more positive note, we've had a lot of sailors getting frocked recently. So what advice do you have for the newly frocked sailors?
Oh, yeah. Always talk to junior sailors specifically to stay hungry. Right. Ask for more responsibilities. Every time you achieve that goal, create a new one. Set new goals. And most importantly, you know, just because you got promoted to the next pay grade, you get more paycheck coming, and then you got to start, you know, buying new cars and all that, or spending all this stuff. So I always recommend to junior sailors, when I do career development board or when they check in with me, is to make sure they save up. Right.
Right.
So.
And then how does it feel as a new CMC to see everybody getting pinned?
Not just for CMC. I think any leadership, or if you're in a supervisory role, every time you see any of your service member get promoted to the next pay grade, there's no specific like word to describe it, right? Because, you know, we always get excited when their soul comes out, but at the same time, you know, you gotta ask the service member, what's next? And then us leaders, who's next, right? So you gotta develop those personnel that's within your supervisory reach, and make sure you continue to develop them professionally and personally.
That is always good, and I'm glad to listen to that advice for when I do eventually get frocked myself. But of course, now that the summer is heating up, we literally have some awesome guests that'll help us make good choices when it comes to fire safety. Once again, it is me, Seaman Hepburn, a.k.a. YF Menace, and I am back with CMC Alvarado.
Nice to be back again. Good afternoon to all our Rota listeners, Rota family. Definitely, I want to introduce our two special guests. We have Chris Cruz, who is the Deputy Fire Chief, and also JJ Cruz, not related, by the way, same last name. He is the Lead Fire Inspector for Base Rota. They're both from our fire department and joining us today. So, quick intro. We'll start with you, Chris.
Hey, thank you for having us, and good afternoon, everybody. Yeah, my name is Chris Cruz. I'm the Deputy Fire Chief here at NAFSA Rota. I've been here, very blessed to be on my second tour in Rota. So, going on about 6 years. And here I kind of oversee operations, prevention, and fire safety education, pretty much everything on the installation, just keep everything running.
Oh, and my name is John Cruz, yeah, I've been here almost 2.5 years. I arrived in 2023, and I handle prevention. You probably see me out there doing ICR classes or any kind of public events, public education classes, fire warning classes, so you probably see me out there doing fire inspections in your building. But like Chief said, we're lucky to be here, and we're excited to be here, especially in Spain. It's beautiful here. Summer's awesome, and but it gets really hot, but it's still awesome. Nice time to enjoy the beach and everything that Spain has to offer. But thanks for having us again.
All right. Glad both of you can make it here. So now let's talk about the fire department background. Like, let's talk about safety. Not safety, more so on mission, services, who we serve, you know, specifically on base, and then limitations and all that. Because a lot of times, you know, some of our community would assume that we do the same services, like we provide services off base. You know, us being in Spain is different, right? Chris, mission for your team, for your department.
Yeah, so, you know, our mission is to deliver effective fire prevention and safety education on emergency response to the Fleet family and support the family. Essentially what that means is the main part of our goal is to respond to every emergency on installation, which includes shipboard emergencies, aircraft emergencies, structural emergencies, medical, hazmat, confined space. Essentially, every single emergency on the installation we're a part of, essentially because we run command and control and incident command structure. So we run that, and we run that for the entire installation. And then, JJ, you want to talk about your specific mission?
Yeah, so chief response to emergencies or operations response to emergencies, I kind of try to prevent those emergencies from happening. So we kind of take a look at what are the risks and how can we mitigate those risks. And so a lot of times I'll tell people about certain things and inspect certain facilities and try to prevent the firefighters from going out there. And a lot of times it's almost a love-hate relationship, because then the guys love to fight fire. They love to play with stuff like that, of course. If we could prevent them from going out there, we lower that risk and we're able to kind of stop them from going out there. Right?
Operations, by the way, does not like prevention. they take our job away from us, and they prevent the fires, which is obviously more important. But when you're working on emergency response, I mean, most firefighters want to see
action.
Fires and action and things like that. And JJ does such a good job on the installation preventing it that we have to subvert to training and preparing for those instances. But yeah, it's the mission is all encompassing. It takes care of everybody on the installation, and that's basically just to take care of everybody and to provide that service to the community.
Okay, good to know. How about can you elaborate what process, how, if they have some kind of fire off base, off installation, what do they need to do, call, dial, whatever?
Yeah, so I can talk to that piece. Especially if you're and during ICR, I always emphasize it to everyone, especially coming on installations. We're so used to, if we're coming from stateside, we're so used to dialing 911 and just getting the emergency services out there. But if you're staying on base, that's fine. You can dial 911 from a landline. And I have to explain landline because sometimes people don't know what landlines are. Landlines is a phone attached to the government facility in the wall. But if you need help on the installation and you're using a landline, you dial 911, you'll get the base dispatcher. If you're on the installation and you need help on the installation and you're going to use your cell phone, you'll dial 956-822-911, and that will get you to the dispatcher on the installation. Because if you needed help and you were going to dial 911 on your phone or 112, it would go out to the local dispatcher and there's a delay to get you help on the installation. If you're off base, like you asked, and you needed help off base, you will dial 112 and that will get you to the whatever dispatcher that is local in the area. And then from there, you would report your location, of course, and the emergency and what services you need if you need any kind of help.
Okay, good to know. Now, Chris, how many fire stations do we have on base?
We currently have 3 fire stations. So we have 1 fire station that is fully committed to the airfield, and it houses 4 large crash trucks. We're required to have 7,000 gallons of water available to any aircraft emergency in under 5 minutes. So that's one of our larger stations. And then we also have a structural station and an admin station that's located right by the outdoor theater. Mm-hmm. That primary response is for the shipboard mission and you know, our warfighters and everybody down there. So we strategically located that station so they can respond efficiently over there. And then our third station would be our middle structural station, which handles majority of the structures in the middle of the installation, and that's also like our admin facility. So 3 total stations, and they all have a very different and specific mission and the reason why they're located where they are.
Okay, good. So now total personnel we have in the department, military and civilian. Do you know how many approximate that we have?
Yeah, so currently right now we have 71 personnel in our fire department. It's we have a very unique fire department here. It's one of the most diverse fire departments in the world. It's a combination of USGS firefighters, military firefighters, and local national firefighters. Essentially right now it's a pretty close split. It's about 30%. So we're looking at 71. But because of the increase of our shipboard mission on the installation, we've been granted additional manpower. So we're going to be going to about 85 personnel by the end of the year. This is just going to increase our shipboard response capability and honestly just make the community a little bit safer, have a bit more assets to respond to various emergencies.
And that is true. With the continued growth in ROTA specific, right, we need more personnel to support first responders specifically.
Absolutely.
So commands beside Naval Station ROTA, that fire department support, outside of NAVSTAY, and then you have hospital for EMTs you support as well. What else, 2 major commands, or even ships, right, include? Okay, what else command that you guys support?
Yeah, so CTF-65 and DESRON is one of our big partners. I know it's only the CEO's priority to keep, you know, the ships safe and the personnel safe. So we work with them all the time. We drill on exercises, every single exercise that they're going to do, verification exercises. We drill with them to make sure that we integrate with them. They know how to work our equipment. We know we are familiar with their ships. And that way, in case of a fire, we're able to respond efficiently to mitigate that. And here in Spain, we're, it's a unique situation because CONUS, we have mutual aid fire departments that can come from off base and assist us. Here we have to handle the emergency organically. Yeah. Here we have to put out the fire as quick as possible because we don't have hundreds of firefighters to pull from. So making sure that we're as efficient with our response, that we know the people that we're working with from the ships, that we communicate with the ship CEOs and their Changs and their DCs, we ensure that we can provide the best possible response. We're never going to know exactly what the emergency is going to be. Mm-hmm. We try to cover all of our bases, and the more we train together, you know, the better the outcome. We train with them a lot. We do a lot of the ammo movements for NMC, DET ROTA. A big thing for Naval Hospital that we're currently working on is the community might see us play a bigger role in emergency response for mm-hmm. medical emergencies. So we currently don't have the mission here. It's the Naval Hospital has the mission for with the ambulance and mm-hmm. emergency response. But we right now I have 35 nationally registered emergency medical technicians, and right now we're working in an agreement where we can be of better service to the community. And once somebody gets injured, we can respond right away with full capability. Take care of them, make sure they're good to go, check vitals, package them, and then from there help the hospital transport them to the ER. So that's something big that we've been working on for a long time, and it's a great capability for increase the capability for the community.
That is true. That's one of those big item for us, right? Supporting and increasing the capability for us, because if you're talking about manpower. Let's be honest, how many, you know, from the hospital, how many EMTs we got, right?
Yeah, it's very few. You know, we have a great working relationship with them, but unfortunately manpower everywhere is falling. So we're trying to find creative solutions to counteract that. And right now it's called a hybrid agreement that we're going to have. So mm-hmm. we're going to help and assist on scene, but they're still going to handle the transport. They're still going to own the whole mission. It just mm-hmm. gives us the ability and the authorization to play a bigger role and provide a better, higher quality care sooner while we're waiting on the EMTs or the ambulance to get there.
That's good. That's good to know.
Wow, our fire department team is really cooking, but they'll be right back with CMC after this break. Make sure you aren't burning down the house. All right, good afternoon again, Rhoda. There were some crazy technical difficulties. I guess our conversation was too hot. But we are back with CMC Alvarado and our fire crew here.
All right, let's talk about fire safety. All right, topic. So between you two, Chris and JJ, how does summer heat make fires more common?
Yeah. If you're here in Rota or even in Porto or wherever you're at, it's really hot. And one thing I want to lead into, though, is that from June 1st to October 15th, there is a burn ban or like restrictions on open flames. And so it's not only in the installation, it's also in the area of Andalusia. They talk about heavily wooded or forest areas. You can't barbecue. You can't use open flames. You can't have a bonfire. Even if you have established facilities for barbecuing, for a bonfire or pit fire, you can't even drive your vehicle in forest areas or heavily wooded areas. And the reason why is the potential for fires, you know, and just the summer heat just dries everything off a lot more than spring or fall or winter. And that lack of moisture just makes everything a lot more combustible and burns fairly easily. You know, so we always tell people, it says anytime you're trying to do campfires or anything like that, you want to make sure that you understand the restrictions. And if you have any questions, you can stop by one of the firehouses and ask us if you can do it. It's not that we don't want anyone to have fun. We just want to have people to have fun safely and not burn up a forest or an area like that.
Okay, same thing with what can we share to our listeners when it comes to preparing for fire emergencies at home, and also some tips you can provide them for home fire safety.
So one thing we always talk to people, especially in ICR. ICR is a gateway to catching everybody and providing all that information, especially because we're out here in Spain. One thing we want people to know, especially if you're new to your house or even your workstation, or you just never created one, you want to make sure you have an exit plan. We always tell people to have an emergency exit plan. If there's a fire in your house, you want to make sure that you know how to get out of your house. One thing you're going to realize here in Spain is that you might have bars on your windows as compared to back maybe stateside or wherever you're at. You don't have bars on your windows. Those are our secondary means of escape. Bars on your windows kind of cut that escape off. And so you want to make sure that you plan your escape and with your family and you practice those drills. You say, hey, there's a fire and we're in our rooms. This is what we're going to do. This is how you're going to do. You're going to exit out of the house and this is where we're going to meet up, you know, and you want to practice that. I think that's the biggest thing we want to push out, especially for fire safety safety tips is just understanding, you know, your means of egress, how to exit out of the house if there's an emergency, and be able to do it safely. The other thing we also want people to understand is, again, we talked about earlier the emergency reporting procedures, and you know how to call 911, which you asked earlier. If somebody was off base, how would they call for help? Mm-hmm. You know, out here it's 112, but making sure we understand that. And it's also good to share with your kids on how to do, you know, to make those emergency calls. A lot of times you may be injured, or your husband may be injured, or your wife, or some adult, and you, all the only person you have is your kid. And so make sure they understand how to do that and how to make those emergency calls.
That's good. And then same thing, you talked briefly about the grilling and the cooking safety at home.
Yep.
How about on base checking, even off base, mm-hmm. making sure that they check their CO2 bottles. It's not expired or it's not empty.
Right? Oh, your fire extinguishers and stuff. Yeah. You want to make sure this, you talk about barbecue cooking and grilling and smoking meat, and it's popular. Everyone's doing that right now, especially because it's summertime. Mm-hmm. The one thing we always want people to do is to have the grill at least 15 feet away, 10 to 15 feet away from your house. Mm-hmm. You don't want it near your house. You don't want, if anything were to catch fire or flame up, you want to make sure it's away from your house and it's not going to burn your house, right? And then also just making sure that there's no vegetation around that area you're cooking, because whatever you're cooking, it doesn't catch fire. And then also just make sure that, you know, your pets and your children are away from there. You want to make sure that you have an extinguisher in place or for use, right? Mm-hmm. If the fire gets a little bigger and you want to be able to kind of put that out and knock that out and stuff. So, but yeah, just to make sure you have that. And then, one thing we always tell people, and it sounds funny to people when I tell them in ICR, is that your electric smokers are not meant to be used inside the house. I know it sounds funny, and it seems like you don't have to tell, we shouldn't have to be telling people that. Yeah. But my previous command, I've responded to emergencies where we had people using smokers inside their day rooms, or just because it's electric, right? Yeah, So even with the electric smokers, the Traegers, and all those things you have, you still want to use it outside, because it's an outdoor cooking appliance. You want to use it outside at least mm-hmm. 10 feet away from the building.
You also want to just add, having an extinguisher is great when you're conducting these activities, but also making sure that you have the right extinguisher
yep.
for that.
That's
you might
right.
just assume that every extinguisher will put out every type of fire. Mm-hmm. That's not necessarily true. So mm-hmm. double check and, you know what fuel you're burning, know what extinguisher you have, and make sure that it relates and it correlates. Mm-hmm. And more importantly, when you're grilling, just don't cook your steak well done.
Yeah,
please.
Yeah.
Fire, that's yep. just for safety.
Just throw it away.
Yeah, no well done steaks in Spain, please.
Medium
yeah.
rare.
Medium rare, please. Yeah. Just want to let everybody know that. That's wrong.
All right. Now, I heard that you guys have a game for us.
Yes, and it is called Will It Burn? So Will It.
Yeah, we have a couple of things that we're going to ask CMC, and hopefully he understands, or he can guess if it'll burn or not. And the first one is cooking oil on the stove. Will it burn?
Yes.
It will. Yeah, of course it'll burn. Once it catches fire, it spreads easily. It's just liquid. It's combustible liquid, right? And it'll spread it easy. But a lot of times when people... When oil catches fire, the first thing is to do is put water on that. And the last thing you want to do is put water on that. A lot of times, if you have it in a pot and it's in a pot, just slide that cover over and be able to kind of smother that fire, trying to turn off the heat. And if you have the extinguisher, utilize that extinguisher. And like Chief mentioned, make sure that extinguisher is right for that mm-hmm. product that you're using it on. But yep, it will definitely burn. You're correct.
Okay.
And the second item, a wet dish towel.
No. But it will once after it's, it will burn.
You're correct. Yeah. It may take a little while just because of the moisture content down there. But eventually when it dries up, as with anything, it will definitely burn. That's something. So we always emphasize people. I always tell people at least 18 linear inches from the edge of your stove. Mm-hmm. You want nothing around there. Look at the edge of the stove and just measure 18 inches. And the farther the better. But at 18 inches, you want to have nothing there. No dish towels, no cooking oil, oyster mm-hmm. sauce, no soy sauce. And you can tell where I'm from because I'm talking about oyster sauce and soy sauce. But yeah, none of that on the side of the stove. Just making sure you have nothing clear. If there's nothing there, nothing can burn, right? And so, yeah, definitely you're correct. A wet dish towel.
So I use a wet towel to if there's like a flame somewhere, I use a wet towel, cover it up, no oxygen. yeah. works out.
Yeah, well, for the most part, if you can use something non-combustible, like maybe a lid for the pan, or pot, I think that would be a lot better. Because eventually, if that flame overtakes that dish towel, it's going to burn it as well. So, yeah, or use an extinguisher, or call us, and we'll come out and help you.
That's right.
Yeah. Third one, I know it seems weird, but a cell phone charger plugged into the wall.
Yes.
So in itself, the way it's made, if you use properly, it won't burn. It will definitely, it should not burn, but you want to inspect your cell phone chargers. You want to take a look at it. Yeah. Making sure, especially coming over here from the either stateside or whatever, and you're using it in a receptacle out of town or you stay at an off base. You want to make sure that it matches, you're using the right adapters. You also take a look at your charging cord, making sure your charging cord is not damaged. A lot of times those damaged cords can overheat and catch fire and set fire to either the counter or stuff around it. When you're done, of course, unplug it. I always tell people to unplug things if you're not using it. You can unplug it.
And then if it heats up, just throw that thing away.
Yeah, throw it away. Yeah, if you feel it hot. Yeah, just throw it away. Get a new one.
Get a new one.
I'm going to call an audible on this last one. We're just going to ask you if it'll catch fire. Will improper storage of lithium batteries catch fire?
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I just wanted to bring it up. We have a lot of electric scooters on the installation. Mm-hmm. People are charging their scooters overnight or certain things. If it's not a smart charger and it didn't stop charging and it continues to charge throughout the night for hours and hours on end, there's potential for the battery to swell up, catch fire. Mm-hmm. Also, if there's removable lithium batteries, making sure it's properly stored. We like to tell people to tape the top and the bottom terminals, because if you have improper storage and lithium batteries touched together, those have been the causes for a lot of fires.
Yeah.
People just throw lithium batteries in a container in their garage, and then they come home one day and it just, I don't know, spontaneously combust just because they touch.
You're right.
So
even batteries.
I just wanted to change that last one. I just remember there's a lot of lithium charging, lithium batteries on the insulation, a lot of scooters, things like that. Yeah. So make sure you're properly charging and storing your batteries. Mm-hmm. That's actually one of the top causes for home fires this year.
Same thing for charging your electric scooters. Make sure it's not next to a bunch of boxes or combustible, anything combustible.
Yeah,
right?
You want to monitor it too. You just don't want to leave it overnight and then leave it and then you're gone all day and you want to monitor it. And then when you're done, you can't monitor it, just unplug it. Like Chief said, there's a bunch of fires that happen from the batteries or electric batteries, electric scooters and stuff like that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
What else you guys got?
I think that's it.
I mean, for the burn, nothing, but from us, we just wanted to thank you, and honestly, we just want to let the community know, your fire department is here to serve you. Our number one goal is customer service. Mm-hmm. Every firefighter here loves being here in Spain. We have the best community in the world. We're fortunate enough to have worked in many bases, around the world, and we think that the Rota community, the installation, the base, and even directly outside of community is the best. So our guys, our team trains hard to keep you safe. We just want to thank you for your time. Like we said in the beginning, sometimes you're not going to see the fire department unless it's a bad day. And it's our job to make sure we train and make sure we can maybe salvage some of that day or turn that bad day good. But for the most part, know that your team is always here training for you. We're here for the customers. We're here for your families, to train, for education, to train your kids. But please don't be shy. Reach out. We love seeing the kids when we drive by, wave to the fire trucks. Come by, see the trucks, stop by the station. This is your fire department. This is what we're here for, is for you. And so please thank you for having us. And it's been a pleasure.
That's awesome. Hey, I'm going to tell you, you guys are one of our, in my 26 years, the best fire department that I've worked with, right? And I'm going to tell you that I'm speaking for our community as well, because you guys are doing a fantastic job, right? You guys are always available, especially events for the community between Spanish and not just our American community here, but also Spanish. Seeing you guys out there, especially the last one, July 4th, right? Everybody enjoyed it. And I'm going to tell you, if you go on social media, if they hashtag, fire department or fire Rota, probably going to see, your team there, right? Yep. So amazing job. Thank you. Over to you, DJ YF Menace.
Yes, so once again, thank you to Deputy Chief Chris Cruz and Fire Inspector JJ Cruz for this fire game. And of course, we will be back with the CMC after the music break with our installation updates. I'm Seaman Hepburn once again back with CMC Alvarado with our installation updates.
Good afternoon, Rota listeners, Rota family, CMC Alvarado here again with installation updates. So a few things here. For any of our service member that resides at unaccompanied housing on base, make sure you register your bikes so that way we can account for it. And then if there's anything that's been sitting outside, you know, we can take it and put it in a warehouse somewhere, and then we'll deal with it and plan for something that maybe some of the sailors can use in the future. Okay, so do that. July 18th will be the last day for that. And then PCS peak season. Summer is the busiest season for PCS moves, right? So reminder, starting October 1st, Patriot Express service to and from Rota will cease. Work with your command CPPA and NAPPTO to book your commercial flight for your PCS after that date. Military OneSource is one of those location or website that provides anything pertaining to PCS moves. So, and then we do have our NABSUP personal property office team. If you have any questions regarding the household goods, make sure you reach out to them at Building 55 or over the phone at 011-3495682-2419. Now, what's going on off base? Okay, we do have an event off base. Rota Virgen del Carmen procession Tuesday. That was that's actually tonight at 7 p.m. 1900 for the boat procession at Rota Pier, and then on Wednesday at 7:30, starting at Iglesias Nuestra Señora. So that's going to be for Wednesday. And then, of course, the Virgen del Carmen is one of Rota's patron saints and is the saint of the sea and sailors. So join our local community and watch some of these really cool processions. I'm going to be probably out there with my kids and my wife, so we're going to enjoy that and partake on that event. Last thing for me, MWR Summer Patio Party is going to be happening on Friday, July 18th. At 1900, and then single sailors come by the Liberty Center for long games, music, hammocks, and snacks. Our team, MW team, is definitely, you know, upping up their game to make sure that we support not just our family community here, but also specifically for our single sailors. So I might have to swing by there and you know, root for some sailors, you know, just to have fun, right? See how they're doing. Other than that, thank you, as usual, to our AFN radio team here, specifically to our DJ, you know, YF Menace. She's always been outstanding. Thank you for having me again. And, of course, our two guests here. Thank you to our Rota listeners for another outstanding, great afternoon of summer.
Yes, of course, it is always a pleasure to have you here, CMC. And once again, thank you to our guests, Deputy Chief Cruz and Fire Inspector Cruz. And don't forget that you can always listen to the CMC Super Show anytime on your favorite podcast platforms, including Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube, Pandora, and Amazon Music. But to wind us down, we have Prince with Let's Go Crazy.